Seattle. And the news coming up next on KIXI, currently in downtown Seattle at 66 degrees. The time now is 10 p.m.
CBS News. That was Madison Square Garden when the state of Ohio put Jimmy Carter over the top in the delegates he needed to be the Democratic presidential nominee on the first ballot. It was cheering amid the balloons and confetti as Carter swept the nomination and unity swept the convention. I'm Rita Sands reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The roll call of states took about an hour before Carter was finally nominated by acclamation with a 700-vote margin. Carter watched his victory unfold from his hotel suite 18 blocks away, his mother, daughter, and grandchild with him. He saw Representative Peter Rodino's nominating speech.
He will bring a united Democratic Party back into the leadership of America, and a united America back to a position of respect and esteem in the eyes of all the world.
Then Carter saw one-time rival, Representative Morris Udall, rally round him in the name of the party.
Somebody said that when Democrats assemble a firing squad, they always gather in a circle, but when we get together, watch out. And tonight we're together, and I'm up here to see that in this critical next 100 days, this party stays together.
California Governor Jerry Brown rallied round the same party cause as he threw all of his state delegates behind Carter and predicted a Democratic victory in November. The question now is, who will be Carter's running mate? Carter will hold a news conference Thursday morning at 10 o'clock Eastern Time to announce his choice. CBS News has learned that all six candidates are going to receive a telephone call from Carter sometime between 8:30 and 9:30 in the morning to find out firsthand who Carter picked. Only one will hang up elated. Now this.
Guess who's on the cover of this week's People magazine? It's Amy Carter and her daddy, the candidate. Inside, some straight-talking hometown folks from Georgia tell you about the Jimmy Carter they grew up with. Also in People this week, gospel singer Johnny Taylor wonders why everyone thinks sex is the theme of his smash hit, Disco Lady. Hal Linden talks about his hectic life as TV's Barney Miller. And the late J. Paul Getty leaves some of his millions to a dozen of the fascinating women in his life. You meet them all in the new issue of People. Pick up a copy today. It's the one with Amy and Jimmy Carter on the cover.
I'm Joanne Woodward on behalf of the National Society for Autistic Children. Autism is a neurological disorder that affects behavior and communication. With proper research, education, and care, these children can learn and have a life of dignity. They deserve a chance. Please write National Society for Autistic Children, Post Office Box 8646, Albany, New York, 12208.
Ronald Reagan spent Wednesday in New Jersey looking for support in a 67-member delegation, and then it's on to Pennsylvania for that state's uncommitted bloc of 103. Both states are considered Ford strongholds. Reagan was asked if Carter will be difficult to run against in November, since both men have campaigned against the Washington establishment.
It might have seemed that way until we wound up with the Democratic platform adopted at the convention, because now that platform reveals that there has been no change in the direction of the party, no change in the leadership of that party, and Mr. Carter has gone along. That, in other words, his dissatisfaction with Washington is only dissatisfaction with who's there, not what they're doing.
Taiwan refuses to march into the Montreal Olympic Games without its national flag. Canada does not want the athletes representing the Republic of China and has offered the Olympic flag instead. The U.S. Olympic Committee may not stay with the Games if Canada does not relent in its position. The president of the U.S. Olympic Committee says a decision on whether the committee will stay or move out will be announced Thursday. A Taiwan team official says he welcomes the possible U.S. withdrawal, saying Canada must not be allowed to establish such a dangerous precedent. CBS News continues after this.
Are you moving this summer? If the answer is yes, this is Gene King for the Council of Better Business Bureaus with a few tips on how to choose the right mover. You know, since moving is a substantial investment in time and money, and because it involves your personal belongings, you should use care in selecting a qualified moving company. Now, there are thousands of movers in the United States, and you shouldn't have to use the eeny, meeny, miny, mo method of choosing one. Use the same care as you would in choosing your doctor, lawyer, or dentist. Don't choose an unknown. The best way to make sure you get a good move is to choose an established company whose reputation has been earned by years of service. Such a company has better trained men who will give your furniture and household goods tender, loving care. And ask your friends. Check with one of your neighbors who has moved recently. You know, an established firm will help you. It won't keep you in the dark.
Viking officials have picked the spot on Mars where the unmanned U.S. spacecraft will touch down July the 20th, but they haven't picked a name for it yet. It's in a basin about 1.25 miles deep, not too far from the first landing site chosen. Once on the surface, the spacecraft lander will search for any forms of bacterial life. Rita Sands, CBS News.
This is KIXI Seattle. The weather outlook calls for sunny and warm through tomorrow. A few patches of early morning fog, the highs in the low 80s and lows in the mid-50s. Less than 10% chance of rain through tomorrow night. And currently in downtown Seattle, 66 degrees. The barometer is falling. It reads 30.26. CBS Radio Mystery Theater coming up next on KIXI. Briefly in sports, Canadian Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau indicated tonight that Taiwan's latest offer would not be acceptable to his government. The Taiwanese reportedly have agreed to go home quietly if two members of their delegation are allowed to carry the Republic of China colors in Saturday's opening ceremonies of the Montreal Olympics. The head of the U.S. Olympic team is threatening to withdraw if Canada doesn't change its position. Republican presidential contender Ronald Reagan says consideration should be given to staging the Summer Games on American soil. The time is 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. You know, I'm always glad to have you in my home. And as I say these words, I think how easily most of us take the word for granted. How much that simple word has been lauded in song and verse. Think of the quotes, home, sweet home. Home is where the heart is. The sacred joys of home. And 100 others. And of all of them, the one which best suits this story. Charity begins... or should begin, at home.
My visitor had come, no doubt of that, and I was ready to go with him willingly. And then, suddenly, I heard Muriel's voice calling me back, and I sensed she was in trouble, that she needed me. So I came back, or awoke, or whatever it was. Did I go beyond the grave? I don't know. I only know it was to the edge, but I came back, and I shall not return till I've done what I was called back to do.
Our mystery drama, The Patient Visitor, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin, and stars Ian Martin and Marion Seldes.
It is sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
When you say bud, you've said a lot of things nobody else can say.
When you say bud, you've gone as far as you can go to get the very best.
It all the way.
When you say
bud, you say the king of beers.
There is no other one. There's only something left.
Because the king of beers is leading all the rest.
When you say Budweiser, you've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, headquarters, St. Louis, Missouri.
Wheels are ever spinning, shining spokes are catching sun. There are people seeking nature, seeking help and seeking fun.
Last year, over 15 million new bicycles were sold in the United States, and over 70 million are now in use. Studies show that the leading causes of bicycle accidents are loss of control, mechanical and structural problems, and the entanglement of foreign objects in the wheels. So, make sure your bicycle meets the new safety standard.
So cycle off, America. Our craftsmen are being told there's a life that is riding on every bike that's sold.
For more information, ride bicycles, Washington, D.C., 20207. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission.
Most of us take it for granted, for our heads, a house, an apartment, a mobile trailer. Somewhere there is home. What of all those who don't have a home? Those who are lost, who have outlived their usefulness and their welcome, and don't have a roof over their heads, suddenly alone and homeless. This is the story of one such uncomplaining but sensible and gallant lady.
Good evening.
Oh. Good evening. Perhaps I've made a mistake.
Why, I hope not. Were you looking for the judge?
Well, for Justin Travers, isn't this his home?
It is, and I'm just a visitor. Dr. Ridgely, a widower like Justin. We often have dinner together and play some chess. But tonight, he chased me out, and I see why now. You want to see him?
Oh, I have to see him. I need a lawyer.
Are you an old friend of his?
Well, yes, but so long ago. Perhaps if you were to mention my father's name to him, he might...
Your father?
Dr. Cyrus Cartwright.
Good heavens. The great heart specialist?
That's right.
Justin speaks of him often.
He was a client of Justin's. His firm, at any rate.
And you must be Muriel, the girl who... I beg your pardon. Mrs., I believe.
Mrs. William Parks, now. Although my husband passed on. What were you saying?
What I shouldn't be, really, except that Justin is expecting you.
Expecting me?
Yes, he said he had an appointment with someone he wanted to meet alone. The rascal. I don't blame him.
The door is open. He must have grown hard of hearing. There's no one here. Oh, yes, in the big wing chair. I see his hand lying on the arm.
Yes, who is it?
Mr. Travers, someone so far out of the past, I don't know if you'll remember me.
Muriel Parks.
You recognize me by my voice.
Oh, no, by my memories.
But your eyes are closed.
Perhaps, but I still see you as you were, over 40 years ago. Small and slim and all abrim with life and the excitement of it. And you had on a mulberry suit and a pink scarf and a ridiculous hat, except that on you it wasn't. And I thought you were quite the most beautiful and desirable thing I had ever seen. Now that I open my eyes, you haven't changed a whit in all those years.
That's an outrageous statement.
Now, where did you come from?
I rang your bell. Dr. Ridgely opened the door. He said something about your expecting me, but how could you?
Well, I don't understand.
He said that You had an appointment with someone.
Yes, I did, but that will have to be put off. Much more important to see you again, Muriel.
Amazed you even remember me.
Well, how could I fail to? For me, you haven't changed in all those years.
Well, that's very gallant, but scarcely true.
Well, won't you sit down, please, and let me offer you some wine?
Oh, thank you. Perhaps I might sit for just a moment. I feel a little shaky.
I think this might be just the thing to settle us both down. A really fine, dry Amontillado, if I may.
Oh, thank you.
I'm a little shaky myself. To your father, God rest him, and I trust he will me. And to old days, well remembered.
Thank you. I need help.
I only hope I'm able to offer it.
Well, I hope you'll forgive me, but you were my father's lawyer, and I didn't know where else to turn.
Well, Mr. Poindexter, the senior member of the firm, was actually your father's attorney.
The doctor who let me in said that you had been a judge, but that now you're retired.
It's true enough, but not yet dead enough that I can't be exhumed to help old friends. A little more sherry.
Oh, thank you. This is enough to make me quite giddy.
Your eyes are sparkling as they were that first time you came to our office. 1935, maybe, or thereabouts. And you just made your debut.
Well, considering the times, I should have been ashamed of myself. I was driving my own Packard Roadster. I had a new spring dress. And I had been to the Patriarch's Ball the night before.
You were the loveliest thing I've ever seen.
Was there ever a world like that? Or was it just a dream?
I remember I cut your picture out of the rotogravure and slipped it into the corner of my dressing room mirror.
Why didn't you ever try to see me?
Oh, I was afraid to. You had every beau in town at your feet, and it seemed so much time then.
There always does when you're young.
Mm. Besides, I was a good deal older.
Oh, not that much. You might have called.
I might have, but I didn't.
Why?
Because you got married to someone else.
So did you.
Ah, so I did.
And I hear your wife is dead.
Yes, and with her gone, not much to live for. And you?
My husband? Oh, he died a long time ago. Where does it go to, the time? My daughter, too. Now there's just myself and my granddaughter. And that's why I'm here.
Is she in trouble, your granddaughter?
Margaret? Oh, heavens, no. Well, yes, in a way she is. She wants to get married to a fine young man.
But something stands in the way.
Yes, me. Mr. Travers.
Oh, surely, after all, this Justin.
All right, then, Justin. I haven't any money.
My dear Muriel, if that's all
you could... No, please, I didn't mean that.
What is it, then?
Well, Dick, that's the boy Margaret's in love with, has his own parents to support, and he just can't afford me to. So, since I'm in the way, I made up my mind to move out.
All right.
Well, I remembered vaguely that my father had left a sum of money in his will to a kind of a home. I was looking at the paper one morning, and there were quite a few advertisements for that sort of thing, and this one just leapt out and met my eye.
Just let me get my specs. Now, let's see. Cloverden, a home from home for aged gentlewomen in the twilight of their lives. For women of 65 or over, transfer of property if not willed to relatives, unlimited visiting hours, Long Island, New York. Totally supervised with full facilities overlooking the sound. If home is where the heart is, then Cloverden is where you belong. Admission fee, $500. Oh, my dear Muriel, you can't consider seriously...
But that's not the problem, Justin. My mind is quite made up, and for that matter, I've already made the plunge. I didn't have all the money, but I was able to raise part of it.
How?
Well, I sold my wedding ring. It had some diamonds. Oh, it's a little old-fashioned, of course, but I got $250 for it.
And they wouldn't accept that?
Well, that wasn't the stumbling block.
Then what?
It's quite a long story, and I'm taking so much of your time.
Muriel, all I mind is your hesitation.
Well, This morning, with the money I'd gotten from selling my ring, I went out to Cloverdon.
Which I will bet overlooks the sound.
Entirely. It might just as well not be there. It is so far overlooked.
Yeah.
How did you know?
Well, I haven't been a lawyer and a judge all these years for nothing.
Justin, it's a dreadful place. I can't even begin to describe it.
Please don't try.
And with all the will in the world, I found it hard to like the woman who interviewed me. I suppose she was trying to be nice.
Well, did you tell her who you were? I mean, about your father?
Oh, yes. Well, that seemed to melt the ice a little.
I can just imagine. Well, tell me about it.
What you're trying to explain is that you don't have the full entrance fee, Mrs. Parks.
I have half.
Of course, and no other assets.
Well, my father gave you our house to be part of your home and some money, I think. I'm sure he did.
It's a little difficult for me, Mrs. Parks. You see, I'm only assistant superintendent of Cloverdon Homes Incorporated, and at the moment, we are full up.
You mean you won't take them?
Oh, no, no. I'm quite sure that... I think I can say without fear. Well, now, I believe it would be better for you to see the superintendent himself, Mr. Blessing.
Could I see him now, then, please?
Oh, Mr. Blessing is seldom out here. Now, you'll have to see him at our New York address.
You mean my old home in New York City?
Yes. But please, let me call him and tell him you're coming.
If you want. If I'd known I could have gone there directly, I wouldn't have had to make this long trip by subway and bus. This is the address you list in your advertisement.
Oh, yes. This is the main institution, but the administration is all handled from New York.
So, back to New York I went, a little upset at the wasted trip, but more than anything, afraid to go back to my past. To the house where I grew up. To the house, I suppose, in a sense, you could say, I hoped to die in. Only mine no longer. And if I lived in it again, only as a guest. And somehow I had the feeling, in spite of all, an unwelcome one. A ghost presence from the past that no one expected or wanted to haunt the present. Have you ever had the feeling, Justin, that if you are not already dead, you should be, that there isn't any place for you anymore?
We'll have to wait for Justin Travers to answer that question for himself. But while we do, you might ask yourself, if not the same question, a like one. Is your life arranged so that you feel you truly belong, that it is vital and worthwhile, and, to use a modern word, viable? If not, how do you make it so? I shall return shortly with Act Two.
Once in a while, something comes along that talks right to me, like the Singer Smaller Figures sale. Such a nice idea. Smaller prices on some great Singer sewing machines, plus a free smaller figure shape-up plan when you buy a sale machine. I save $50 on my free arm stretch stitch stylist machine at an introductory price of $189.95. And I got a new figure to sew for, too. The Singer Smaller Figures sale. Now I have the Singer machine I always wanted and the body I never had.
Hemorrhoid sufferers, the proof is here. Proof from leading doctors and hospitals of a medication that helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues caused by inflammation. It's doctor-tested, hospital-tested Preparation H. Hundreds of tests prove that in many cases, Preparation H gives prompt temporary relief of occasional pain and itch and helps shrink swollen, inflamed hemorrhoidal tissues. Preparation H, ointment or suppositories, use only as directed. Doctor-tested, hospital-tested Preparation H helps shrink swollen hemorrhoidal tissues.
We don't expect much from handicapped children. We don't expect them to learn much. Sometimes we don't even expect them to go to school or learn to do things that will help them get along when they grow up. But handicapped children are pretty much like other children. If you don't expect much, they won't do much. If you expect more, they can do more. Most handicapped children can learn and do much more than most of us realize, if we expect enough, and if they get the special education they need. In this country, every handicapped child has the right to special education, whether his parents are rich or poor. If you have a child with a handicap, any kind of handicap, we have free information that can help. Write Closer Look, Box 1492, Washington, D.C., 20013.
A public service message from this station and the United States Office of Education.
From under shaggy eyebrows, the keen brown eyes of Justin Travers burn fiercely. His gaze unwaveringly fixed on the neat little lady beside him. And Muriel Parks is a tidily attractive woman, with her figure still slim and youthful in her 60s, and her silver hair is soft curves framing her alive and surprisingly unlined face like a halo. But in Justin's eyes, she is still that radiant chestnut-haired girl of 40 years ago, and what is running through his head would be hard to translate.
Dare anyone ever heard a hair of your head, Muriel? Why, old as I am, I want to leap on white chargers and ride out to do deeds of daring do in your name. Henrietta, my beloved, my dear wife, I know you will forgive me. I'm in no way unfaithful to your memory or all our lovely years together. We were meant, destined for each other, and I cannot wait to join you. But we both know that first love has a special glow all to itself.
But if his thoughts were like that, all he said was,
in answer to your question, Muriel, yes. For quite a while I have wished to be dead and out of this world and trying a new one, back with my Henrietta. But I've had my mind changed.
By me? Why?
Oh, a lifetime at the bar, and particularly the years on the bench, have educated this somewhat prominent nose of mine to the stench of injustice. I smell its aroma in what you are recounting to me. Now, you please go on.
Well, now, where was I?
On your way back to what was once your father's house in New York, now part of Cloverden Homes for Aged Gentlewomen.
Yes. Did you ever know the house?
Yes, I think I might have been there once or twice.
On Sutton Place, with a garden that runs down to the river.
Oh yes. Don't I remember a boathouse and a dock?
Yes, and above it, high enough to look over the roof and across the river. Do you remember the chestnut tree with the seat halfway round the trunk?
I remember a lovely shade tree just right for the afternoon sun.
That's it. Well, it was all there. I mean, just as it was when I was a little girl, as if I'd never been away.
How beautiful you make it sound.
Oh, how beautiful it still is. I was so stunned to see it all the same that while I was waiting to see Mr. Blessing, I let myself out into the gardens. I was drawn by the tree, just to sit there a moment and look out over the river. But when I got there, there was another little old lady like me sitting on the seat. A bird of a lady with a long feather boa wrapped around her.
A feather boa?
Yes, I was surprised myself. I haven't seen one since I was a child. But she was very sweet. And she said,
oh, is there room enough for you to sit down? I could easily move.
No. There's plenty of room.
I love to sit in just this particular spot and watch the boats go by. You can see all the way down to the bridges around the jog if you sit just here.
I know.
You do? But you're new, aren't you?
I used to live here when I was a little girl. This was my house. Oh. I was born right there in the corner room on the second floor.
Oh, really? Isn't that fascinating? Well, that's my room now. Are you joining us?
I don't know yet.
Oh, well, if you do, you shall have it back.
Oh, no, I couldn't.
Oh, nonsense. The room you were born in?
But I couldn't turn you out. Have you lived here long?
Oh, t-
22 years now. I'm Mrs. Lefferts, Mr. Blessing's mother-in-law.
That's the gentleman I'm here to see.
Oh, well, I hope you can arrange to be here. I'd enjoy the companionship. You know, we have something in common.
We do?
Yes. Both of my granddaughters were born here, too. They're over there, see, playing tennis with some of the staff.
Good heavens, I didn't notice someone built a tennis court.
Yes, my son-in-law. He knew my Betty particularly loves to play.
Which one is she?
Oh, the blonde one with the pigtails. That's my daughter.
How many old ladies are here now?
Oh, well, you're looking at the only one.
Just you?
Well, Mr. Blessing's mother lived here until she died quite a few years ago. Now there's only me.
Which leaves you almost a stranger, doesn't it?
Yes, it's quite lonely. Oh, I do hope you'd join us.
I'd better talk to Mr. Blessing.
Oh, well, he'll be in the library, second door to the right. Oh, but of course, since it was your house, you'd know that.
Well, 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 how nice to meet you, Mrs. Parks. Come in, come in.
Thank you.
I'm sorry to have kept you waiting, but, pressure of events. Allow me to seat you.
You're very kind.
Not at all, not at all. My pleasure. My bent, if I may say so, and, of course, my calling. Well, Mrs. Hatcher has been in touch with me. Matter of fact, I was just on the phone again with her, and I'm happy to say that, in spite of a few difficulties, we have managed to arrange everything.
You mean I can be accepted?
My dear lady, who has a better right?
But you realize that I don't have all of the entry
fees. Whatever you have, whatever you have. The balance would be waived as a matter of course in your case.
Then I can come with you to live.
My dear, Cloverdon's doors are open to you. After all, your father did leave us a considerable bequest. Most generous man, a true philanthropist. Just as a matter of business, there are certain papers...
Oh, before I sign those, may I ask you something?
Oh, ask away.
Do I understand that I will be living here?
Here?
Well, I was born in this house, you know.
Oh, were you? Ah, how pleasant. Well, now, we shall have to see what can be done. Such a pity, but for the moment, that won't be possible, since we are full up here.
Oh, but Mrs. Lefferts said that she...
Oh, you've met my mother-in-law?
Yes. While I was waiting, I sneaked out to have a little look at the garden again.
So, you had a talk with Lily, Mrs. Lefferts.
Well, just a few words, really, but she told me that she has my old room.
Oh, what a coincidence.
And she was nice enough to say she'd give it up for me, although, of course, I would never dream...
Mrs. Parks, forgive me if this seems a little abrupt, but Mrs. Lefferts, my mother-in-law is... just a little, how shall I say it? She tends to wander somewhat. Not quite in touch. I'm sure you understand.
My dear, never have guessed. She seems so clear and lucid.
Yes, yes, doesn't she? Well, the fact is, I don't think we need to dwell on it too much. Only that she lives in the past, another world. We were able... to make an accommodation for you at what we like to call the country house.
Well, I won't say I'm not disappointed.
We
particularly
are
after you...
really doing what we can, Mrs. Parks, waiving the customary fee.
But I paid $250.
Yeah, well, that's a matter of phrasing. Half the customary fee. And it has taken quite a bit of maneuvering to locate you in what we call one of our deluxe rooms.
Well, I'm very grateful, of course.
Oh, no need to be, no need to be. Only your due. We'll consider it all arranged, and as the French say, fait accompli. No further red tape, except one little formality. Here, if you would just sign right here, please.
Well, what is it that I'm to sign?
Oh, it's nothing to bother your pretty head about, just lawyer's jargon about assignment of property.
But I haven't any property.
Well, it's perfectly all right. It's just necessary paperwork.
But don't you think I should read it first?
Well, naturally, if you want. It really is the merest formality.
But I think perhaps I'll just take this with me and look it over.
Well, there's really no need.
But you have no objection, surely?
Why, no, of course not. None at all.
And you've brought that paper to me, Muriel.
Well, maybe I'm being overcautious. I just didn't like Mr. Blessing.
I haven't even met him, and already I don't.
I certainly didn't trust him. I suppose it's old-fashioned of me, but for all his manners, he just didn't seem like a gentleman.
Yes, well, he sounds to me like a first-class snake in the grass. May I see the document, Muriel?
Of course.
Thank you.
If you don't mind reading it, you see, I can't make any sense out of it.
Well, naturally, there wouldn't be any need for us lawyers if you could, huh? And you say this Mrs. Lefferts was the only old lady you saw there?
Yes, and she even told me she was.
But you saw quite a few other people about.
Well, yes, but all much younger, playing tennis. And she said something about there being her daughter and some of the staff.
I see. How many?
Well, three or four, I suppose. But I peeked into the dining room and the table was set for 10.
Have you read this yet?
Not all of it. Well, I told you, it's so difficult to follow.
Well, I'll only read you the pertinent clause and not even all of that. Agrees to transfer all right, title, and interest, both real and personal, in the estate of her father, Dr. Cyrus Cartwright, and to execute whatever instruments may be necessary thereto. You understand that?
Yes.
Why?
Well, I mean, isn't that just customary?
But you no longer have any interest in your father's estate, do you?
Well, no, that's right. I mean, all he left me was gone long
ago.
Exactly.
So why is it necessary to sign this?
But if I don't, they won't let me in.
I wonder about that. Yes, I think, as we lawyers say, I might just take that under advisement. But not now.
Oh, but I can't wait much longer. I'm already holding up the children's marriage as it is.
Well, we'll try to do something about that, too. But for the moment, I insist on you coming with me.
Where are we going?
To do something I should have had the courage to do 40 years ago. I am going to take you to dinner. And then I'm going to walk you to your house.
But the paper...
Oh, that's something I shall digest alone, along with a few other musty documents I'll dig up tomorrow morning. First, I want to reread your father's will carefully. And then tomorrow, you and I will pay a visit to your home.
But it's not my home anymore.
Oh, yes, but who knows? In my long and checkered career in the legal profession, I've discovered at least one truism.
Well, what's that?
That where there's a will, there's usually a way.
But the will didn't seem to be the answer. There was no doubt of its validity and of the fact that the house was deeded and signed over irrevocably. So just what does Mr. Justin Travers, retired lawyer and judge, have up his sleeve besides a funny bone and a wry sense of humor? We'll have to wait for the answer to that when I return shortly with Act Three.
To the man who bought the Skyhawk, to the girl in the centuries, we're glad you like your Buicks, glad you set your spirit free.
And to the family from Ohio, to the folks up in St. Paul, nice to see you join us. Nice to see you all.
Do you know that over 450,000 people have already bought 1976 Buicks?
No.
No, we didn't know that.
You like your Buick, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure.
A lot?
Uh-huh, a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
There's probably nothing you don't like about your Buick, right?
I can't think of a thing.
Well, we could probably even say you love your Buick, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. We could say that I love my Buick. That's right.
In fact, I'll bet you wouldn't trade that Buick for $1 million.
Oh, I wouldn't bet that.
Oh, he bet it, didn't he? Okay, it's a bet. Here's the Buick. Where is the cashola? Let me see it. I don't think he's coming across.
It's nice to see you join us. We're glad it came to be. Nice to see you join us. Glad your spirit's free.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
live on the street with my mommy and daddy. I have a little sister, too. It's a lot of fun, most of the time. Except when my little sister takes my toys. She's yucky. Our family had a problem once, and mommy and daddy were upset with each other a lot. My mommy called the people at the Mental Health Association, and they helped us. I guess mommy didn't know what to do, and the Mental Health Association gave us information and several places where we could go. I bet they could help anybody. Mommy said she found them in the telephone book. They were so nice. Daddy said they help people with all kinds of problems. I bet they could help you if you needed it. I wonder if they could talk to my little sister about playing with my toys.
Your Mental Health Association. People who care. People who can make a difference.
As it transpires, Judge Justin Travers has a little more up his sleeve than perhaps even he totally bargained for. Because once he returned from the courthouse and the probate records to spruce up for his afternoon appointment with Muriel Parks, that mysterious visitor he had been awaiting the night before paid his second call. And this time, instead of sending his friend Dr. Ridgely away before the arrival, the judge is constrained to call him to share the appointment.
Oh, well, Charles.
Shh, shh, shh. Just take another deep breath. Now, take some of this. Huh? Hold it under your tongue. Now, I want you to tell me when this first started while I phone the hospital for an ambulance.
I don't want an ambulance.
Justin, you're smack in the middle of a coronary. Your life is on the line.
Well, it won't be the first time.
What I'm concerned about is it may be the last.
So be it. I've known for a long time I'm on borrowed time. Up to last night, ever since Henrietta died, I haven't cared. But now I need to borrow just a few more hours. You remember last night?
Yes.
I told you I was expecting a visitor and chased you away.
Good Lord. I took that at face value. I thought you met Miss Parks. You mean to...
I mean I was having trouble concealing from your eagle eye. And I was having what I suppose you would refer to as a coronary episode. And after you left, I never heard the doorbell ring because to this moment I couldn't tell you honestly whether or not I slipped over the border. And then suddenly I heard Muriel's voice calling me back. And I sensed she was in trouble and she needed me. So I came back or came awake or whatever it was. Did I go beyond the grave? I don't know. I only know that it was to the very edge. But I came back. And I shall not return until I've done what I was called back to do.
Well, there it is, Justin.
Home for aged gentlewomen.
Yes.
Well, the circumstances may be singular, but at least the sign is in the plural.
It was so kind of you to come.
Uh-huh. Gate is open. Shall we go in? After you, my dear.
Thank you.
So these are the gardens. Oh, yes, yes, I recall. And that's the chestnut tree, hmm?
Yes, with the river beyond. It's a lovely prospect, isn't it?
Not nearly so soul-satisfying as the one I have in view. Will you wait for me here while I have a word with Mr. Blessing?
Sorry to keep you waiting, Mr. Travers. You represent Mrs. Parks, I understand. Mr. Cartwright's daughter?
His only issue.
Of course. We must be legally impeccable. Everything fully understood. Open covenants, openly arrived at, hmm?
Exactly, Mr. Blessing.
Well, then, may I take it your client has signed the release? merely a matter of form, of course, as I'm sure you've told her.
Matter of fact, I haven't. And what you may take, Mr. Blessing, is not any more.
I beg your pardon?
As I understand it, you're the only superintendent of Cloverden Homes Incorporated?
Yes, but for all practical
but
purposes...
But the chairman of the board is Mr. Carter Rensselaer Boyd IV, I believe.
Yeah, that is correct.
And for all practical purposes, I prefer to deal with the principal. The exclusive Mr. Boyd, it seems, has a taste for seclusion. His telephone number is unlisted.
Well, naturally, a man of his eminence...
Well, let's get him down off that eminence, shall we? Suppose you give him a ring in his ivory tower and get him over here right away.
I'm sorry to have to intrude on your privacy, Mr. Boyd.
Well, of course, Blessing, it's most inconvenient. Stop it. Travers, Justin Travers?
That's right, sir.
The judge? What does he want with... Put him on.
Mr. Boyd will speak with you now.
Thank you. Mr. Boyd?
Hello there. Is that Justin Travers, judge that was?
Guilty as charged.
Well, bless my soul. I met you once or twice somewhere, didn't I?
Yes, we have met, and we're about to do so immediately again.
How's that? No, not now.
Mr. Boyd, you are the chairman of the board for Cloverden Homes for Aged Gentlewomen, are you not?
Well, yes, have been for 12 years.
Then I advise you to come immediately to the home at Sutton Place.
It's all a mystery. I mean a misunderstanding, Mr. Boyd. I'm sure it'll all be cleared up as soon as Mr. Travers comes in from the garden with Mrs. Parks.
Why do I need him to clear it up, whatever it is? You clear it up for me, Mr. Blessing.
Well, I... You see, it's only a confusion in the application of Well, I mean, Mr. Travers doesn't understand the operations. Well, he's confused in thinking that...
If you ask me, you're the one who's confused. Oh, there's the judge now. Perhaps we'll get it straightened out.
Well, not judge any longer, Mr. Boyd. Retired, except for one last case. May I introduce my client, Mrs. Parks, whom I represent as an attorney, of course... Muriel, this is Mr. Carter Rensselaer Boyd, how many?
The fourth. How do you do?
Mr. Blessing, you already know, of course, Muriel. For your information, Mr. Boyd, Mrs. Parks is the only daughter of the late Dr. Cyrus Cartwright.
Well, good heavens. It's a pleasure, madame, to meet the daughter of one of our institution's main benefactors.
I'm sure she'll be delighted to hear that from you, since we have a complaint to make against the management.
A complaint? Oh, not serious, I hope.
Very serious, sir. When Mrs. Parks applied for admission to the institution, your superintendent, Mr. Blessing, attempted to coerce her into signing a document waiving her interest in her father's estate.
You mean Mrs. Parks is an applicant for admission to the Homes?
Mrs. Parks has suffered, among other things, financial reverses.
Oh, I'm so sorry. But of course, room shall be made for her at once.
Well, I've already arranged that. I've done everything possible, including waiving payment for admission.
To that snake pit, that bedlam you allow to decay and rot without one thought for its occupants out on Long Island. But not here. Not to her father's own house.
You see, I was born here, Mr. Boyd, right under this roof, and it would mean so much to come back.
Oh, Blessing, why can't she?
Well, because we are full up.
Mr. Blessing, let me ask you, how many inmates have you accommodated here in the last 18 years?
Why, a good many. The number varies.
How many at present?
Well, at the moment, only one.
And her name?
Mrs. Lefferts.
Who happens to be your mother-in-law.
Well, yes, but...
Is she enrolled as an inmate?
Well, no, but she is an old lady.
And so, if Muriel will pardon me for saying so... Is Mrs. Parks.
Oh, it's all right, Justin. I qualify.
Now, Mr. Blessing, yesterday when Mrs. Fox was here, she noticed that the dining room table was set for 10.
Were you having a party?
Well, of course not.
Oh, then it's customary.
Well, yes.
Who are the 10?
Inmates, members of my staff, and my family.
How many in your family?
6.
Counting your mother-in-law?
No, that would make,
7.
Judge Travers.
Mr. Travers, attorney, as of now.
Yes, well, Mr. Travers, I don't think this is necessary if you're trying to prove that there's room here for Mrs. Parks. I'm sure we'll agree that it can be made.
Will you also agree that this property has never been used as an old lady's home?
Mrs. Parks,
would you please repeat what Mr. Blessing's own mother-in-law told you?
Oh, I'd be happy to. She told me that she'd lived here for all of the 22 years that her son-in-law had been superintendent. And there have never been any old ladies here, except herself and Mr. Blessing's mother, till she died.
Isn't this just a question of management?
Well, of course. This is administrative headquarters. We own the property to use as we see fit.
Who do you? And can you? Gentlemen, have you ever read the exact wording in the will? As I see you haven't. Well, then allow a lawyer to read it to you. To the Cloverton Home for Aged Gentlewomen Incorporated, I give the sum of $25,000 together with my home and furnishings in Sutton Place, provided that these premises and their appurtenances shall be used for an old lady's home. Otherwise, said house and furnishings shall become part of my residuary estate.
Well, what about it?
Simply that my client, Mrs. Parks, née Cartwright, happens to be the residuary legatee of her father's estate. And since your corporation has never satisfied the terms of the will, this house legally reverts to her.
Good Lord. Is this true, Judge Travers?
Well, if you want my opinion, I can assure you that it is, as your own lawyers will tell you.
That won't be necessary. Blessing, you're fired.
Oh, but where will I go? Are you going to put me out of my home?
Your home? Mr. Blessing, this is Mrs. Park's home, de facto and de jure. The rest of us are only trespassers.
Justin, you must be tired.
Yes, I am, a little. Pleasant looking out at the river. One more river to cross.
What?
Oh, I was just thinking how peaceful it is.
Under the tree? How happy I am for you, Muriel.
Yes. But I've been thinking, I don't think Mr. Boyd should resign as he plans to. I'm not that old yet. I'm strong and healthy. I don't want to spoil my father's wishes. So why can't the corporation keep the property, turn it into a real old lady's home, and let me run it as resident manager?
Well, if that's what you want, I'm sure it can be arranged.
I would, but only if Mrs. Lefferts can stay. And be my first guest. I know she wants to, and I'd like her to. She really is a dear little thing.
And so, may I say, are you. Goodbye, Muriel.
Must you go so soon?
Actually, I'm going very late.
Thank you for riding to my aid, Sir Knight.
I never could resist it. A damsel in distress. You'll excuse me. I have an appointment I have to keep.
Justin, hold on. The ambulance will be here any moment.
It's too late. Doesn't matter. I'd rather die here. My old wing chair.
Well, I'm not going to let you.
You can't stop it, Charles. You know, I really died last night. But I had to see Muriel safe. Now my old chariot can spread its wings. That's my transport now.
Just as...
All right, Charles. All right. Muriel's found her home. And now I'm going back to Henny.
Scott in Pace, Justin Travers, 78 full years. And a man, when he has to go, should be able to bow out on a note of triumph. No need to mourn him, just remember him. Dr. Charles Ridgely had the headstone inscribed aptly. We shall not look upon his like again. I'll be back shortly.
Now you can go to your True Value hardware store and buy sunburn protection. For your lawn, that is. Hi, Pat Summerall here to tell you right now, True Value Hardware Stores offer a complete selection of durable garden hose to help supply the extra water grass needs to stay green during hot, dry summer weather. For example, their Superflex Bicentennial Vinyl Hose stays flexible in the temperatures, all of them. Coils in coldest weather, stays strong in hottest sun. It's reinforced with nylon for extra burst strength, so you can shut it off at the nozzle without fear of bursting. And its solid brass couplings won't rust. This Superflex nylon-reinforced vinyl hose has a 5/8 inch inside diameter and comes in 76-foot length for just $8.76. The Superflex garden hose provides sunburn protection for your lawn. It's just one of the many values you'll find at the participating True Value hardware store near your home. True Value, more than just a name, it's their way of doing business. Tell them Pat Summerall sent you.
When it's hot, appetites are usually not. So, what's for dinner? Well, the August Family Circle has some solid salad ideas for your hot weather consideration. Main dish recipes designed to stick to the ribs. A Portuguese seafood salad, for example. Shrimp, sardines, artichoke hearts, lemon-flavored pasta. And doesn't that sound cool? Or you might have a go at a super salad of chickpeas, kidney beans, and cheddar cheese with a special tomato dressing. Family Circle is also right in season with delicious new ways to use the current abundance of fresh vegetables, like zucchini bread. Yes, bread. The issue's cover features an Irish-style cardigan sweater, one of a dozen exclusive fall fashions Family Circle has for you to knit and crochet. And incidentally, did you know last month's issue contained more than a dollar's worth of national brand coupons? Added value from Family Circle, the world's largest selling woman's magazine. Just 39 cents at your supermarket checkout counter. This is Jack Sterling. A sad, sweet, and haunting story when all is done. And one question always lingers in my mind. Would Justin Travers' obituary have appeared a few days earlier in the paper if Muriel Parks had not come back into his life? For certainly the visitor he expected that first night was the one he was there to greet the following one. Well, it's an idle speculation because, of course, we'll never know. Our cast included Marion Seldes, Ian Martin, Robert Dryden, Ken Harvey, and Bryna Rayburn. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
coming up next on KIXI, the weather outlook. Sunny and warm through Friday. A few patches of early morning fog tomorrow with variable high cloudiness on Friday. Highs in the low 80s, lows in the mid-50s, and currently in downtown Seattle, it's 64 degrees.
It's the sound of bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, Seattle.
And the time at KIXI, now 11 p.m.
CBS News, as expected, a first ballot victory at Madison Square Garden. Georgia's Jimmy Carter, the Democratic standard bearer in 1976. This is David Jackson reporting on the CBS Radio Network. At the beginning, four names went before the convention: Carter, Udall, Brown, and McCormick. As Morris Udall stood to second his own nomination, he released his delegates and threw support to Carter, all in the interest of unity.
America is a good country, and we're a good people. Our country isn't working very well. We've lost our confidence, and we've lost our way. And with the help of the independents and the sensible Republicans that go with us when we're right, we're going to win a victory, November. We're going to turn this country around, and we're going to make America work again. This good country's going to work again. And thank you very much.
California's Jerry Brown was next to swing over, and then the nomination of Carter became official. The only thing left to settle now is the vice presidential slot, and Carter will do that at a news conference Thursday morning in New York at 10 Eastern time. Just after the nomination, Carter told reporters he would take nothing for granted during the presidential campaign, and his campaign manager, Hamilton Jordan, gave the Ford camp a boost, saying that the president would probably be a tougher opponent than Ronald Reagan. Among the convention also-rans to get votes Wednesday night, Watergate prosecutor Leon Jaworski, Cesar Chavez of the United Farm Workers, and Fred Stover, head of the U.S. Farmers Association. Now, this message.
Ragtime, the music that swept the nation. And now, Ragtime, E.L. Doctorow's astonishing bestseller, is dazzling the country. It's the story of three families swept up in America's changing tempos at the turn of the century. Their lives become entwined with real people like Harry Houdini and Henry Ford. It's a novel rich in imagination and entertainment. Read Ragtime, a bantam book where paperbacks are sold. Nothing quite like Ragtime has ever been written before.
We have many names for our emotional problems: tension, anxiety, depression, the blues. But names don't really matter. What matters is that almost every problem can be helped and usually solved if we will only face up to it. That's something your Mental Health Association wants you to know. They're working for you in your community, and they deserve your support. So if you need help, or if you can help, call your Mental Health Association.
An earthquake has shaken the Indonesian island of Bali, and according to island officials, 52 people were killed, about 150 injured. The quake hit densely populated areas in the north and west of the island, several homes, buildings, and bridges destroyed. Major rescue efforts are underway in Mexico in the midst of heavy rains and floods. George Natanson has the story in Mexico City.
Mexican military and Red Cross rescue teams have been moving into vast areas of central Mexico over the past 24 hours in an attempt to reach an estimated 100,000 people affected by the flood waters. Many small communities in the area are reported isolated by the rising waters caused by torrential rains falling over central Mexico since Sunday. Helicopters are being used to remove people who have taken refuge on the roofs of their homes. More than 25 people are reported dead as a result of the floods. An untold number of homes have been destroyed. Highways and bridges have been washed out during the continuous downpour, one of the worst in Mexico's recent history. Heavy damages to crops throughout 11 states affected by the floods can run into the many millions of dollars. George Nathanson for CBS News in Mexico City.
Calling for more efforts to cut excesses in defense spending Wednesday night, President Ford signed a $32.5 billion defense appropriation authorization. It approves money for, among other things, the B-1 bomber program and more than $6.5 billion for naval shipbuilding. Now this.
like to play with a dog, bet you do. And dog, he likes to be played with too. But you can't, you know, 'cause you have asthma. Be right tonight, sounds like fun. But we'll never catch you going on one. Not as long as you're suffering from asthma. It chokes off your wind, it shortens up your breathing. There are times you just know you're gonna die. But you don't, of course. You can't lie down in bed, so you sit up all night instead. It's no fun being young when you have asthma. No, sir, sure ain't. No fun being young when you have asthma.
Asthma has spoiled a lot of fun for a lot of kids. Fortunately, it can be alleviated and even prevented in some cases. Only a doctor can tell for sure. Your local lung association considers it a matter of life and breath.
While political questions continue to cloud Saturday's opening of the 76 Olympics, the traditional Olympic flame arrives Thursday in Ottawa. But the major portion of its journey from Olympia will be anything but traditional. For the first time, it's coming by satellite. In Athens, a sensor will pick up its ionized parts, turn them into electricity, and flash them to Canada. That triggers a laser, which lights a flame, which runners will then carry to Montreal. A long way from the ancient Greeks. David Jackson, CBS News.
This is KIXI Seattle. The time is now 6 minutes past 11.